it's another side that like wants to take more, it wants to go that one more round, because like going that one more round when you don't think you can, that's what makes all the difference in your life. You know what I mean?
Welcome to One More Round, the Rocky Series podcast. I'm your host, Ryan, and with me, of course, is Katie and Kyle. Kyle's got their throw the damn towel under his name. Of course, Katie's got nails. I think we're going to get to that scene.
I prefer Katie's quote.
I wanted to comment on your locale today. You have previously been on Mars, and then you came back to Earth for a while. It looks like you might be on Jupiter or something.
Yeah, I know. I have this new light. So I'm trying to get it right here.
Well, you look great. You both look great. Katie always looks great. She makes us schlubs look bad, but that's okay. She's the eye candy of the podcast.
Oh, please, so don't tell people that, because then they'll join and be like, what? Yeah, what are you talking about?
Yeah, it's like those sex operator gals. Mm-hmm. You know, they sound great, but when you see them, they're behemoths. Okay. That being
you're
said,
not a behemoth, Katie, just so you know.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you never know. You never know. Okay, so we got some lot of stuff to cover today. We have some big emails. Okay, let's just rock and roll right into the emails.
First one. Hi, Ryan, Katie, and Kyle. I hope all is well with each of you. First off, great work, Ryan, on incorporating the theatrical cut with the director's cut. It's a lot of work, and it's much appreciated to see the differences and how they worked in each version of the film. Something that occurred to me for the first time during the scene of Rocky and Apollo watching the fight of Rocky / Apollo 2, who was the one that wanted to watch that particular fight? I never really thought about it until now. Rocky never seems like one to watch old fights, and Apollo doesn't seem like one to want to watch a fight he lost.
Rocky, I never thought that he did or didn't like watching fights. I don't think he cares, but I don't think he cares if he does or doesn't. So I don't mm-hmm. I think he's indifferent. I never thought about that. The fight they're choosing to watch together as ex-boxers or ex-opponents is the one where Apollo loses. It's interesting. Yeah.
Maybe he conveniently didn't have the first one when he lost.
That's possible. Yeah.
I think it's Sly wanting to watch the one he won.
Sly wrote that in. Yeah, you're right. That's right. You know, that's probably true. That's probably true.
This is Michael, by the way, from Screen Nerds Podcast. So he goes on to say, it's interesting to compare the scene with Rocky and Apollo to the one with Rocky and Polly in Rocky Balboa. Obviously, Rocky is much older in the latter film than Apollo is here, but the sentiment is similar. In Rocky Balboa, Rocky essentially just wanted one more fight. Here, we don't know if Apollo, had he lived, would have come to the realization that Rocky did about being done at the end of Rocky Balboa. I think any athlete wants to retire on their own terms. And for Apollo, he doesn't think he's there yet. And he's fighting tooth and nail against it, like a lot of older athletes. I agree with you all about not being fans of Ludmilla's diminished role in the director's cut. I made a point of mentioning that in my review of that version, especially the scene coming up before the Drago Apollo fight between her and Marianne. But here during the press conference, I kind of understand cutting at least some of that speech out, because we do hear Drago speak in the director's cut and we hear nothing in the theatrical cut. I think Sly at least wanted to put that one line back in for Dolph Lundgren to humanize Drago somewhat. This press conference is a great example of why I drafted Nikolai Koloff as sports villain in Sports Movie Tropes draft that I was a part of with a group of podcasters. He's such an antagonist, and it played out so well in that scene, especially in the director's cut version. Keep up the great work as always, Michael.
Thanks, man. Yeah, we're a lot of great thoughts, great insights. So thank you so much, Michael. Thanks for your very consistent and concise emails. We do appreciate that. So yeah, people are sort of torn. Ideally, there should have been a different cut, whether it's a director's cut or super cut. Like, yes, I agree cutting some things out here or there, but also cutting out the Ludmilla, I'll never get behind that. That whole, I like it when she talked to the conference. I actually kind of liked it the way she did. You know, mm-hmm. You have this thing that where we are so very bad and you are so very good. I love that. I love that part.
It's memorable for sure. Yesterday, I feel like I've not seen that Beverly Hills Cops movies, miraculously.
Wow.
Okay. At least the second and third one I don't feel like I've seen before. Anyway, Ludmilla, Yeah, I clearly haven't seen it because Brigitte Nielsen is a big part in the second film. There's a lot of Rambo, especially, but Stallone references in the Beverly Hills Cops movies.
I'd have to rewatch it. Interesting. Well, that's a very interesting.
Even Jackie Stallone, like a reference to Jackie Stallone.
Wow. Okay. All right. What's the next one?
Next one is from Simon. Hi there. Great part four content so far. I prefer the theatrical version as it doesn't include all of the time-wasting footage from part three, which was mainly for old films before the VHS DVD generation, reminding audiences of the previous story several years later. Agreed. It's literally 7 entire minutes long.
It's crazy. We talked about that, how, yeah, the director's cut, it's a 7-minute Rocky III montage. Mm-hmm. It's odd. It's such an odd choice for Sly to say, we got to watch Rocky III in a condensed 7-minute version. Yeah.
He says, so I don't know why Sly put in extended part three footage. Plus, I think the theatrical version has a better introduction of the Russian invasion on the TV news. The only director's cut footage I think works is the extra Talia Shire scenes, which you have covered previously, and what I suspect you'll cover in the current episodes, the extended Apollo fight, so Apollo is better at fighting, and the changing the edit of Ludmilla, so she's not casually smoking over dead Apollo, which previously made her a bit comically unsympathetic. Yeah, although I would have thought Sly would have made her more unlikable these days, not less. Interesting.
Yeah, he's probably torn as both the ex-husband slash what works for the film. Yeah.
The rest of the new changes I never really cared for. I normally just watch the theatrical. By the way, speaking of Sly's jealousy around Brigitte, which you mentioned in episode 2, I know Stallone was pretty upset when German action star Matthias, do you guys know how to, Matthias, no. Matthias? It's spelled Matthias, but I would have said Matthias Hughes.
Sure. Let's go with that.
Yeah. Matthias Hughes, who starred with Dolph in I Come in Peace, aka Dark Angel, turned up on the Hollywood scene. Matthias dated Brigitte in the early 90s after Stallone divorced. But mm-hmm. he would also be hanging around nightclubs, gyms, and gala events in LA in the 80s and would encounter Stallone's entourage. Matthias tells a story in his book called Shirtless in Hollywood.
I got to read this book, by the way.
Yeah, me too. About being at a charity gala with his long hair and muscle shirts. I got to look this guy up. He was at a table with Jackie Stallone and hamming up the muscle Lothario thing for the camera's charity. And Sly saw him with his mom. Apparently, he got pissed that he was some buff gigolo his mom had hired. The book has some pretty wild Brigitte Nielsen stories when they were a big deal in the early 90s. Lastly, a 2014 documentary called Red Army, which I suspect you might know is about hockey, is worth checking out as a companion piece to Rocky IV. It's about the Russian hockey team during the Cold War and their games against the American and Canadian teams. I think it's the Russian side of the story from the Kurt Russell film Miracle, but in documentary form.
Cool.
Wishing you all the best. Kind regards, Simon. Good story about that dude also making Sly jealous. Yeah.
So I guess he's like a B or C list actor, did some films with Dolph. So he's in the scene, you know, he's got his own muscles, part time guy, whatever. But I love how he's like hanging out with Jackie. Sly was jealous and upset about this guy. Like, it's such a, okay. All right.
very funny. Anybody could be insecure. You know what I mean? You'd say, oh, why would this person ever be insecure? They have so much going for them, but it's all in your mind and anybody could be insecure.
Yeah. Fair enough.
True.
All right. We got a new email. I think a fairly new listener.
Oh, email from a new person. Carrie Ann, a lady. Mm-hmm. Yay. They're hard to come by, female listeners. So I'm very excited.
I'm excited too. I'm very excited.
She says, hi, Ryan, Kyle, and Katie. I wanted to let you all know how much I love your show. I have my husband to thank as he was the person who told me about it. And now I'm hooked. I have been a Rocky fan since childhood. My most vivid memories are from Rocky III, when Clubber is punching Rocky in slow motion and how terrified I was. I also thought about how amazing it was watching Rocky do sit-ups in the Russia training montage in Rocky IV. Uh-huh, it's coming up. the franchise has always been a source of comfort and inspiration at different times in my life. We traveled to Philly for the Rocky run, and running the steps was, of course, on my bucket list. But the moment I most remember is seeing the museum for the first time. The sun was coming up as we were walking to the race, and I saw the museum in the distance. I got choked up thinking about how long I had waited to be in Philly and see a piece of movie history in person. It was a really cool experience that I will never forget. I have done 4 half marathons, of which 2 of them were the Rocky Run. I can't wait to go back. I'm grateful for the soundtrack because it keeps me going and I never get tired of it. Even Eye of the Tiger, Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
Your podcast has made me see all the movies in a new and fresh way, and I love it. The chemistry and knowledge of the 3 of you have is great. Katie, I'm so happy that I found another woman who loves the movies as much as I do. My best friend's name is also Katie, and she has never seen Rocky, and I'm trying to work on that.
Well, let's get that fixed.
Yeah, you got to remedy that ASAP. Keep up the amazing work, but more importantly, keep punching. Sincerely, Carrie Ann.
Thanks, Carrie Ann. That's very cool. Very nice to hear. We got some good chemistry. That's awesome. And good luck on your runs, the Rocky runs. I want to say this about the Rocky Run people. I have emailed them, I don't know how many times over the years, to get an interview, and they're just too good for me. Even with the John Rivoli connections, I can't get these guys on the horn. I guess they don't need me. That's fine.
Meaning like the organizers of the event?
Yeah, just
the
interview about the run, the history, and I want to talk about the Rocky Run. It's like, nope, don't want to respond to this guy.
You think you're better than me? Huh? Better than me?
I know, it feels that way.
We have an email not from Kyle.
Yeah, this is a long one, so bear with us, folks. But this one's very, very informative, and not Kyle sent us this email.
Okay, dear Ryan, Katie, and Kyle, first of all, I would like to thank you for providing a great show on such a consistent basis. I love Ryan's passion for all things Rocky and Katie's pent-up lust for muscle-bound freaks. Kyle is also okay in small doses, I guess.
True. Very true. That's probably the best part of the email.
Anywho, I would like to comment on a previous episode regarding Ivan Drago's punch power as measured by the Soviet scientists in their pristine lab coats. Drago's handler claims that the average heavyweight boxer punches with approximately 750 PSI, after which Drago then goes on to stun the crowd by punching with 1,850 PSI. This would imply that Drago's punching power is about 2.5 times as powerful as his heavyweight peers. Later in the film, we learn that Drago improves by punching with 2,150 PSI, almost 3 times as powerful as other heavyweights. I thought I would do a little research on this, as this stat seems somewhat dubious. When checking into this, I came across an interesting article that answers the same question I had that was sent in from another reader. Instead of doing a deep dive into verifying that author's sources, I'm just going to go with it, because if it's published somewhere, then it's probably true, especially on the internet.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, internet you can trust.
Mm-hmm. So Abraham Lincoln said that, I think, that you can trust.
Yeah,
you did. Yeah, you did.
Yeah, that sounds legit. According to the article, a study of 70 boxers found elite-level fighters could punch with an average of 776 pounds of force. Another study of 23 boxers showed elite fighters were able to punch more than twice as hard as novices, the hardest hitter generating almost 1,300 pounds of force. Mm. An oft-cited 1985 study of Frank Bruno, who'd go on to the World Boxing Council heavyweight champ, showed he could punch with a force of 920 pounds in the lab. So this lab punching thing is a real thing, apparently.
I guess so.
It's a little bit disputed.
Kyle, don't interrupt your email.
Yeah.
It's not mine. It's clearly not Kyle.
Oh, sorry. Kyle. Sorry, my fault.
Yes.
While Drago's number does not seem realistic compared to these figures, the premise of the Rocky IV film is that Drago has freakish strength due to spinach consumption and anabolic steroids. So it would stand to reason that he would punch significantly harder than naturally trained athletes. While I agree in principle, I think there are some issues with this line of thinking. It assumes other boxers also don't use steroids. In a 2007 article in ESPN stated, the problem with boxing is that because there is no federal oversight, commissions don't have to test, and they don't all have to test the same things when they do test. So there's no standardization. And so more often than not, fighters aren't tested and think they don't know it. The oversight was bad in 2007. If the oversight was bad in 2007, I doubt it would be any better in 1985. Steroids tend to be in boxing to improve training, not bulking up. The reason most fighters use anabolic steroids is not for the bulk. It's not the big heavyweights that are testing positive. It's the smaller weights. And there's always been this misperception that they're used to put on bulk, whereas in reality, they're used by athletes so that they can train more. They reduce the time that they have to take off if they have a small injury. Oh, I see. This certainly came as a surprise to me, who likewise assumed that steroids equal huge muscles, which leads to greater strength. I suppose you could argue that the improved training leads to greater strength. However, I think it's a stretch to assume a person could punch over double what elite boxers could just because they have used performance enhancers. In reality, it may make them hit, say, 10 to 15% harder, which would in itself provide a huge advantage given how competitive the sport is. The final nail in the coffin to the legend of Drago was a study that showed that that a 400-pound gorilla is thought to have the hitting force of 1,300 to 2,700 PSI. Gorillas are far, far stronger than humans and have a muscle density of about four times ours. At 2,100 PSI, Drago would be able to outpunch a smaller gorilla, which seems very improbable to me. Lastly, in a Washington Post article titled, "You Can't Crush a Man's Skull with Your Bare Hands," an expert is cited as saying, to fracture the skull, there would require 500 kgf or the force that 500 kilograms, thank you for equating this for us Americans, not Kyle, that is 1,100 pounds, would exert in standard gravity. This would mean that Drago would easily fracture Rocky's skull with each hard shot, killing him well before the 15 rounds.
Talked about this, essentially, that the kind of power that he has would literally like be a hammer to someone's head.
Not Kyle goes on to say, no. So what did we learn from this long, self-serving diatribe? Movies are pretend.
They
exaggerate things. That or the Soviets lied and somehow kept lying even when they returned home and measured Drago's punching power. Thanks for reading this. Take care and keep punching. P.S. If Luis is in the chat, which I believe he is, tell him to nicely go fuck himself. Sincerely, whoa. Not Kyle.
Whoa.
Why would he say that to Luis? Luis is like the best.
Why would he do that to Luis? That's weird.
That's weird. I like the email up until that point, but.
Yeah.
No, great. That's great.
Very formative email. So long story short, movies are pretend and Luis can go F himself. Okay, that's what I got out of that email. There you go, folks. Those are the emails. Thank you so much. Big mailbag today, but we appreciate it. It's great discussions, great insight to what our listeners are thinking. Okay, before we get into the movie, we've got the trivia.
Oh,
it's easy today. I think we're all going to get 5 out of 5. And I'm kind of mad because one of these questions is literally something I pointed out to you guys.
Do you think it's something we wouldn't have known otherwise?
Yes, you said it when I pointed it out to you. So I'm pissed at myself. I actually get like a freaking bonus point because I pointed something out to you that you both didn't know. And you'll see when I get to that question. Okay, whatever. Whatever. It's fine. It just goes to show you that I don't pre-read these questions. Who says, quote, "The man's tongue didn't come through customs"?
Is that what you pointed out to us?
No, I did not point that out to you.
I know.
Okay. All right. Sorry. Next question. Who says, "Now blast this guy's teeth out"? Adrian. Next question. Who says?
Oh, I love all the who says's.
Yeah. What do you think we are, nerds? Now, I don't know if this character has a name or not, so that's going to be tough. Next question. Where is the fight between Apollo and Drago held at? I guess city, not venue.
I'm assuming city.
Yeah, me too.
Can you put where I think the location is?
Sure, but you won't get a bonus point because if you do, I get a bonus point for this. Oh, this bugs me so much that I have to read this. When Rocky is washing his car, does the robot have a boxing glove on? True or false?
Well, I will say this much.
Sure.
I probably would have guessed true.
Oh, okay. No, I don't want to hear it. It doesn't matter. I would have guessed
false.
Right.
He wouldn't have even brought it up.
Why would this question be asked? Yeah. He could have asked, was he wearing a catcher's mitt? That might have been or something like that. Okay. Fair enough. Okay. All right, folks. So what I've got here is we're going to go right into the movie. Oh, I want to plug my next podcast episode. So if you listen to my Ramble podcast, you'll be aware of this and it'll be on your feed anyways. But just in case you only listen to the Rocky podcast, check out Last of the Action Heroes podcast network, because it depends where you're listening to this. There's a standalone for this feed. So check out that network, because I am doing a interview with Frank Stallone's son, Rob. It's really his son. It's been verified from another source that I trust. Like, funny enough, it's been verified by Tommy Morrison's widow, because they're doing a Rocky V documentary, and they actually interviewed Frank Stallone's son, Rob, for that documentary. And I can't share too much about that. I am actually going to be interviewed for that documentary myself, if you can believe it.
That's nice. Amazing. That's really Ryan. Cool.
Yeah, it's pretty It is pretty cool. It's very nice of Trisha to do that for me. Or to invite me, I should say. I don't even know what I'm going to be asked. I've never been in a documentary before. I don't know if the questions are curated. I might be edited out too. Maybe I'll be a bonus feature.
Can I be your stylist for the interview?
Oh, yeah, I know. I don't
remotely show me your closet and I'll pick you an outfit out.
I have no clothes. I just wear hoodies or black shirts. I have no clothes. But anyways, he was interviewed for that as well. But I know it is. I saw the picture too with Frank and his son there. But it's going to be an interesting interview / discussion because let's just say their relationship's even worse than Rocky's and their son's in part 6. So let's just say that. Yeah. Okay. So it'll be an interesting interview discussion.
I'm excited.
We might get some dirt on the Stallones. So from his angle, not from my angle, from his experiences, not mine. Okay. Now we're going to get into the film itself. We're going to start with, I don't know. Okay. Actually, we're going to start with the original cut. Because with the director's cut, we talked about this last episode, with the director's cut, after Drago tears down the Apollo cutout, whatever, it cuts right to the announcers of the fight. So that's where the director's cut goes. So it eliminates everything that we're going to now watch. That's why we're going to do the original cut first, because all of that's eliminated from the director's cut. Does that make sense? So what we're about to watch right now is not even the director's cut.
Is this, Kyle, what you were going to specifically say in terms of the venue answer?
No.
Ziegfeld Theater? Is that the theater they're playing at? Ziegfeld Theater?
The City of Lights.
It's called Ziegfeld Theater.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if that ever did exist or if it's completely made up. I do want to point out that Wayne Newton was also playing at this casino. He was like a headliner above this.
And I also want to state that, yeah, his hair is just as real as Sly's and Frank's. Yeah. Okay. All right. So here we go here. This is at Las Vegas. There we go. That's one of the trivia answers. We all got that, I assume. So the host says here, the City of Lights, Las Vegas.
Las Vegas, and to one of the most unusual events in years, East meets West. Age versus youth in a Goodwill exhibition match as the former champion Apollo Creed takes on a mountain of muscle from the Soviet Union.
Oh, wait, this is actually the director's cut. My apologies, guys. Let me go back. You know why I know it's director's cut? I'll tell you. This Lights, girl Las coming Vegas. Down right here. She's with not the original cut. Fine? No, with a very busty load. Trust me, as a kid, I would have noticed this. And in the director's cut, Sly put her in. Right here.
Oh, well, you know what? It's so funny because I was referring to the same girl, but what I noticed about her was her headscarf. Not her chest. No.
She's probably 60 something with her little bit older husband here. Fantastic. Best money can buy. Okay, so this is not in the original cut. That's how
I love that guy's cut. Colonel Sanders necktie.
Tie, yeah.
So my apologies, folks. I showed you the wrong cut. Here we go.
Welcome, one and all, to the City of Lights, Las Vegas, and to one of the
It is MGM.
MGM Casino.
Inside but the of theater, it is the Ziegfeld Theater.
Right.
Okay.
That's right.
Didn't know that. Okay.
Louise also said, what headscarf? I know. I agree, Louise.
Most unusual events in years. East meets West. Age versus youth in a Goodwill exhibition match. As the former champion of...
They showed this girl instead of the other busty old lady. I agree with Sly, taking her out and putting the other one in.
This is much more 1985. It's a sweet dress, actually. I would wear that.
Oh.
This music is so good.
It is very good. Check out my interview with Vince DiCola.
Apollo Creed takes on a mountain of muscle from the Soviet Union, Ivan Drago.
So now we cut to this room here. We're in the dressing room / it isn't really a dressing room, quite frankly. It's at the theater in Las Vegas here. We got flowers. We got a cablegram.
What is a cablegram?
Did we not Google this before?
Mm-mm.
If I'm going to guess, it's probably like a fax.
It is a message sent by submarine telegraph cable. So basically that means it's a telegraph from overseas.
There you go. Okay. So it's intercontinental telegram. Okay. This just shows you here how important Apollo is in this match, that he's getting well wishes and flowers from overseas fans or those type of people. Yeah.
The cablegram was sent from the Soviet Union, and in it, it says these flowers are for your funeral.
Can you imagine that he hasn't read it yet and they open it later after he dies? Yeah. Please repurpose these flowers for the funeral.
In the flowers too. I don't think they do baby's breath anymore because it's just like a filler, but it's very 80s.
What's baby's breath?
It's the filler flower, the little, you don't know what baby's breath is? The tiny white.
I got it now. How many flowers do you think I just like, I just hang out in the florist shop. Please tell me all the different parts.
No, I remember like as kids for Mother's Day in school, we'd get a flower with baby's breath because it.
Kyle, help me out here. Did you know what baby's breath was without the explanation? Well, I see those now. I just know they had they're filler. Yeah. It's like a filler. It's your garnish to the flower, essentially. Okay. I didn't know they're called Baby's Breath. Thank you. I learned something. I'm not ashamed to admit it.
There you go.
If anyone knows they don't know anything, it's me, I assure you. So Apollo says, come on, man. And Rocky goes, patience is a virtue, you know. So they're just kind of chit-chatting.
Patience is a virtue. Yeah, I'm ready
to rock. I always love this picture. Again, this was taken out of the director's cut. Well, this whole scene was. So everything we're seeing here is not the director's cut. We got a picture of Drago. Somebody painted a devil's tail and horns on him with glasses, and he's snorting smoke out of his nose. It says Creed was here.
Under his left pec, there's like a line that they drew.
To make him more like a boob, do you think?
Like a saggy boob or something? Yeah, I think it made him look like a boob.
It's true. Why put that line there?
That is interesting. Very good catch. Without pausing it, I never could quite make out what that said Creed was here. I just saw that it was, you know, like this is them being fun with a Sharpie. But Creed was here doesn't really make sense.
It doesn't make sense.
They left that in the Soviet room or something. That would make sense.
Mm-hmm. Doing the devil stuff on Drago, I guess the idea is that he's evil. You know, Russia's evil. They're the devil, I guess. It just makes Drago look more badass, quite frankly, other than maybe the Harry Potter glasses. But it makes him look more badass. He looks like a crazy demon. And look at the extra gloves behind on the table there. How many gloves does Apollo need, do you think, for a fight? I wonder why the extra gloves. Any ideas? He brought all these extra gloves just to have, I guess, one breaks or something, maybe?
I never noticed that.
So Apollo goes on to say, I'm ready to rock and roll, and you want to talk patience. So again, they're insinuating because they kind of rushed into this fight, essentially.
And roll, you want to talk patience. I understand, but you got to get
So let's look at this gift basket here. You got the red, white, and blue ribbons. You've got sparkling. Looks like maybe it's champagne.
Grapes.
Bread.
Pears.
Bread. Crackers.
Definitely. In there.
Lots of grapes for sure. Oh, yeah, two bottles there. Wow.
Yeah, you have some cheese. It almost looks like it's
a grocery basket of some sort.
Well, it's a wine and cheese basket.
Oh, wine and cheese and crackers. Oh, I didn't even notice a cantaloupe. There is. Yeah, there's a cantaloupe there. I've never noticed that.
Oh, a half of one. Oh, good eye.
And is that like akmal? Is that like Chinese noodles or something? Is this okay mo or okay man?
I thought it looked like some sort of like Asian noodles as well, but that wouldn't make sense. I don't know what that is.
It's some mint butter. Do we know what mint butter? Butterscotch, maybe? Butterscotch? Yeah, mint butterscotch. Okay, wow, okay. So Rocky goes on to say, I understand, but you got to get your equipment here, which is kind of such a weird dialogue. I understand, but you got to get your equipment here because he's taping the gloves.
Where's Tony? Tony would be taping the gloves. That's his job.
Yeah.
Well, I think Tony deferred to Rocky on this, honestly. I think Tony's there as an advisor to Rocky, maybe. Okay. But in this moment, of course, it's just the Rocky Apollo talk. Because there you go. Now you look like a mummy.
Now you look like a mummy.
I feel like a mummy.
How does it feel, okay?
It feels great. I feel like I could eat nails,
Stallion. You know, I never tried them things, you know.
What are you talking about?
Snails. I never had them. You know, I see them in the garden, but I never want to eat them. But
I didn't say anything about snails. I said nails. Nails.
Yeah. Did Rocky really not hear him? We know he's got brain damage. Does he have hearing loss too? I mean, it was pretty clear he said I could eat nails. Come on. I know. But it's a clever little line. Again, cut out completely this whole scene out of the director's cut. Any thoughts to why this was cut out?
It doesn't add anything, and it's everything even remotely silly was removed.
Yeah, it seems like the director's cut has like kind of the darker, more serious themes. This doesn't follow it.
Well, you look pretty good, but you know, just do me a favor when you go up there, Apollo. You know, try not to wear yourself out, okay?
I know you guys make fun of me for saying it, but he does.
Is Rocky aware of the dance routine? Does he know that James Brown's in the house, that he's going to sing? Is he aware of this?
I don't think that's really a concern. Him dancing with James Brown, because when you're a fighter about to go into a fight, you're supposed to warm up before you get in the ring. Like, you'll watch fighters go into the ring, they're already covered in sweat. Mm-hmm. Like, you're supposed to get full sweat going, you're supposed to get loosened up. You don't want to go in there tight. He doesn't seem to be doing that at all.
And you're so right.
Dancing like that, that's not going to do anything.
I know, but like us casual viewers that don't know anything about boxing, it always bothered me. But I don't know if Rocky's necessarily referring to the dance, but just that he knows that Apollo is such a showman that he's known as the dancing destroyer. He does kind of move excessively.
They probably think this is an exhibition too, where they're not really fighting. At least Rocky thinks that, where you're just kind of, you know, you're going easy on each other and stuff. So yeah, he's probably like, don't goof around too much in there and do something stupid. In a real fight between the two, he has to move a lot or else he's going to get hurt.
Oh, yeah, wear myself out, sure.
Well, it's just that, you know, you ain't been in the ring for like 5 years, so I just want you to
maintainable.
What are you talking about? You sound like I'm an old man, man. I'm in the best shape of my life. I'm stronger. I'm quicker.
Well, I'm not saying you're not ready or anything.
Paul's been a little bit defensive. Like, what are you saying? I feel great. I look great. I get it. I'm 48. I turned 49 in October. There's a part of my brain that still thinks it's 25. I'm not even an athlete. So I can only imagine what athletes must feel but I just go for jogs and stuff with the dog and stuff. That's my daily routine as I jog with the dog. But I don't jog as far or as hard as I used to. I still jog, but my body is like, oh, I stop a little bit more now. And then I run against ice. I'll speed walk. I just do it for health. Like, I'm not running any competitions or anything. So I don't need to beat any times, but I just do it for my own health and mental health. But what I'm getting at is I know my body is not 30 anymore. It's not even 35 or 38. Like, I was stronger 10 years ago than I am now. That's just the reality of getting older. So my brain doesn't think so. My brain feels like a young adult, but it's not. It's my body disagrees.
And 30, as we know, even in Rocky movies, is old for a boxer, right?
You can fight at 30. It's when you get mid-30s and higher as well.
Well, sure. But when Rocky is almost, they're like, you're basically over the hill already, and you're just now like getting your big fight. I mean, it's just like, duh, this 26-year-old, however old, I think Drago's supposed to be like 26, against a 40-something, that's just logical. And I don't believe he's faster and stronger than he ever was. I don't believe that. He's in his early 40s.
Yeah, which is really, you have no business fighting a serious person at that age.
Yes, I think in the movies, he's got to be, let's say they fought 10 years ago. Let's say, I don't know. See, it's so hard, the freaking timeline. He's probably in his early, he's between 40 and 45 at the very least. Yes. He's not younger than 40 here. No way. So
he's definitely over 40 because movie time, Rocky is 39.
Yes, exactly.
So Muhammad Ali had his last fight at 39.
Oh, wow.
Well, he had a fight at 38 and 39 and like, especially the one at 38, he got embarrassed big time. Like, it was sad. Yeah, it was sad to watch those two fights.
Muhammad Ali, what was his nickname? Sorry?
The Greatest.
The Greatest, yes.
But like, he was like a shadow of his former self. Now, with Ali, you could argue his Parkinson's was already starting at that time. But even so, you can't compete against someone who's 25-ish, unless you're George Foreman. Like, there's always an outlier. Like, George Foreman was in his 40s. It was knocking dudes out and became champ again. So, like, it is possible.
I thought Parkinson's would help you with your boxing because you'd be shucking and jiving.
In all seriousness, though, this whole scene was cut, but there's an important bit that I don't think should have been cut that's coming up.
You know why they also cut it? Because they couldn't CGI out the boss sweater or something. I wonder if that had to play with it. Because they totally cut out all the boss references in the director's cut. The boss wear. It's all cut out. I don't want to play the music because it's going to get hit. So I'm going to have to like mute. Yes, we all know the song Living in America. We don't have to listen to it, but I'm going to show you that cut to show you how different it is. Okay, so Anthony in our Twitter did say that 40. So I don't know if he's meaning Carl or, but he says, but yeah, that's what we figure. At least 40. Mm-hmm. At least 40. So now Rocky goes on to say, you know, this is me, is what I would do.
But personally, if it were me, I wouldn't mind postponing a couple weeks.
Postpone?
Yeah. I mean, come on, Paulo. We don't know anything about this guy you're fighting, really.
Look, okay. Let's say I postpone, right? Yeah. I pull out, somebody else steps in and whips this chump. Then where does that leave me?
Rocky's bringing up a very good point. Now is not the time to do it. Just like we talked about it before with Mickey.
It's such a weird. What a weird time to bring this up. Yeah, the charity fight.
Mm-hmm. What goes on through that area?
Like, why are we having this discussion right before the fight? Like, this
Imagine if Apollo agreed with him and postponed. How humiliating. Like, how he'd get raked through the coals in the press. He'd never live that down.
So let's say Apollo pulls out and the event people come in. Well, we got to have a fight today. We paid James Brown to be here. Rocky, suit up. Could Rocky right now, with all that mountain training or the death of Apollo, could he beat Drago right now?
No. What do you think, Ryan? What do you think, Ryan?
Well, I don't want to say because I got to hear from you guys for the next half an hour.
Do you think he could?
For Rocky, it's always about the mind because his body's the same. His ability to fight's really the same. He didn't learn anything new in the wilderness in the USSR. He didn't learn
it. He's not conditioned.
As Tony told him, you got to go through hell.
Yeah, he's not conditioned at all for this fight.
Yeah,
that's what I mean. Mentally.
You have to go through a camp to fight. Like, you can't just step out. Like, he can maybe fight some low-ranked chump. He's not going to beat Drago.
Well, right now, he is still theoretically the champion of the world. It's not like he's not able to. In theory, he's still the reigning champion.
But he hasn't trained, regardless of who the fighter is, he hasn't trained for a fight. Is that what you're saying, Kyle?
I know. He would lose.
Like a 6 to 8 week intensive training before you have a champion.
Now you need 10,000 meets. We haven't trained for 5 seconds.
It's 45,000.
Yeah, is that what it was? 45,000? whatever the number. Jeez.
Pal, this is just some kind of exhibition fight. This thing don't mean nothing.
Now, this is true, though, about the exhibition. Have you guys heard the new rules about the Jake and Tyson fight?
No, what's the new rules?
I don't know off the top of my head. I just see the headlines and the comments and people getting all up in arms. But it's kind of a gong show. Let's reinvestigate it for next recording.
Okay.
Because I'd like to hear Kyle's thoughts on it, actually. So we'll save it for next. But it just reminded me of that. There's so many different rules and stipulations in this fight that it doesn't even seem like a real fight. Apparently, there's rumors that there's no knocked out rules or clauses. There's, I don't know, it's weird. So they're going to just tap each other in the head, or I guess.
It's going to be a sparring match.
But that's what Rocky's saying. This doesn't mean anything. And that's why Tony yells, this is supposed to be an exhibition. That's the whole point of that. Mm-hmm. And I don't think we're going to get to the fight today. I'm just going to call it now. I'd rather have a little bit of a shorter episode than a 2-hour-plus episode, because there's stuff leading up to it. We'll get to the Living in America part, and that's it. But we'll stop for the fight. I think next episode we'll give the whole fight a watch, because that's going to garner a lot of discussion. That's why Tony does yell out, this is supposed to be an exhibition, because the idea is you pull back. Yeah, you pull your punches a little bit. And I think that's what's happening in the Tyson Jake fight. I think there's some pull punches.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think they're allowed to go for the knockout, maybe. I don't know. I could be wrong.
No, man. That's where you're wrong. This is not just an exhibition fight that doesn't mean anything. Look, this is us against them. What are you talking about? Come on.
So that was thrown in here to the original cut, but this makes more sense when you saw that backyard talk that he had with Rocky that was in the director's cut. Remember about the whole us versus them?
That's true.
Is that the first time that he kind of brings this up, the political side of it, a little bit in the
original? This is the first time you hear him say this is us against them.
Yes.
Because before he's like, I don't like him coming over with all this hype. I guess he says they try to make us look bad every other way. So that does kind of hint that he's talking about the Soviets in general and not just Drago. But
which is just kind of funny that in the director's cut, all that's played up a lot, like Sly put that in, but then he cut out this part where it puts a pin on it, where that, again, that's what Paul's saying. That's what I meant to say with the director's cut, is that Apollo's, you know, though it is about him wanting to get back in the ring, it seems like almost equal to or just behind him wanting to fight again is the idea that it really is an American fight. That's why we have the song Living in America. This is really us against them. This is Apollo being a soldier for his country against Russia. He's the one carrying the flag. Don't get me wrong. He's Captain America. I understand that. Mm-hmm. He still gets the glory, but he wants to carry that flag for America. But it's still him that does it. This is a great line here from Louise. We'll read it. He says, I really hate that Apollo has this mindset. He is the GOAT in the Rocky universe and will always be relevant. He never has to fight again. Also, if he was really this desperate to fight, he would have gotten the bug while he was training Rocky to fight Clubber, especially since he essentially created a Creed clone for that fight. Why didn't he just go back in the ring on his own anyways? Maybe just challenge Rocky again for the belt. The people have done 3 fights against each other.
Loads of times. There's a ton of trilogies in boxing. Yeah, we talked about this in the third episode where it really made more sense for Apollo Creed to come out to fight Clubber, which is really what happened in real life. Like Joe Frazier, who's kind of like Rocky, lost against George Foreman, who's kind of like Clubber. And then Muhammad Ali came in and beat George Foreman when no one thought he could. But instead, in the Rocky film, they just changed Rocky. Instead of changing from Rocky to Apollo, they just changed the way Rocky fought from the Joe Frazier type of style to the Muhammad Ali style.
Right.
Using your line of thinking, though, Ryan, he needed that Russian invasion to jump in.
No, he didn't need it. The storyline didn't. That's the problem. So that's what goes with all movies. This is, again, is the script clutch or whatever you want to call it, the story clutch, where it's like inside the universe that Rocky's created. And you're right, if Apollo felt this strong, but you know, the warrior may as well be dead. Well, why now? Why not 2.5 years ago before Drago was ever around? Like, why the itch now? You're right, this could have been the catalyst. Now he's justifying doing this fight for America. Who knows? I don't know.
See, in the third episode too, there was such a good way that Apollo could have fought Clubber, because Clubber was such a dick to him. He talked so much shit. He could have pissed him off. But he's like, you know, I'm just going to go whip this chump and just show him. Like, it would have been perfect.
That's where the Creed series should have spun off.
Yeah, exactly.
And Sly's thinking here, oh, why did I keep this scene in? It doesn't really make sense what Apollo just said.
So Rocky's confronted by people like this. He kind of just shuts down. Like when people start like verbally abusing him, he like kind of looks down and like he doesn't do well in these type of confrontations.
Stallion, maybe you don't know what I'm talking about now, but you will when it's over. Believe me, you will when it's over.
So you're in this room right now as Rocky, and you don't hear the musical cue. What are you thinking Paul's saying here? Like, geez, man, what are you talking? I'd be like, what do you mean when it's like, what do you mean I will when it's, what's over? Your life? That's what happened. His life will be over. But he's talking about the fight.
Mm-hmm.
This is the whole conspiracy now again. Does Apollo know he's going to his death?
No.
No.
He might have known that going into round two.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what's he saying? What you will when it's so he's knocked out Drago. He's the champion. But the way he looks is like, okay, dude, you won. Great. America's great. But get what I'm saying? The way he's saying it here, it doesn't make sense in the eyes of his victory. So he's saying, you will. When it's over, okay, you've won. But what would Rocky know? So let's say he wins. Yeah, Apollo goes back to Rocky and says, hey, so now do you know?
I think what he's saying is this isn't just going to be an exhibition. You're going to see a serious, brutal fight coming up. Like you're going to see a real fight, like our fights back in the day or your fight against Clubber. When it's over, you're going to see that this isn't just some little thing. This is going to be a major event. And this is going to be looked back on as a major event.
Okay.
Kyle is always very smart. My point was just that we needed a dramatic line to go with the dramatic music.
No, you're right. That's the movie part. You said it best, Katie, in one episode where you said they want to have it both ways in some of these scenes or some of these moments. And but you can't. You have to decide, is the dialogue they're saying now, does it make sense if two humans are talking in this situation? What is Rocky supposed to take from this conference? Take away the music cue and everything. That's how I would do my movies to a degree. Like I want your conversation. Like it has to make sense. What it is we're talking about has to make sense. There has to be sort of for him to say you will when it's over. Okay. Then as a writer, you have to say to yourself, if I'm writing this film, I have to create a world, though we're not going to film it, where Apollo does win, because then this has to make sense. It doesn't make sense what he's saying here if he wins. Mm-hmm. It sounds like he's going to his death. That's what I'm getting at. No, so I'm asking you, yeah, you're saying, well, no, Ryan, he doesn't think he's going to die. You're right. Apollo doesn't think he's going to die. Cool. But what's he saying?
What Kyle said. Yeah. It's going to be a big event. Look back. Like,
Well, why is it so somber?
Yeah. I wouldn't say it's somber. I'd say he's just serious.
Mm-hmm. Okay, sorry. You're right. It's intense. It's serious. But I'd be like, hey, man, you will when this is over, man. You understand that we're the champs. We're the freaking USA type. It's supposed to be patriotic, I guess, but whatever. Okay. All right. So now we're going to cut to, I believe, of course, is Drago underneath the stage. Yeah, can we just give a shout out first off before you start drooling over Drago?
I've always loved this scene. I mean, he is gorgeous, but yes, go on.
Yeah, well, shout out to Vince DiCola's soundtrack. Mm-hmm. I love Bill Conti, and his music fits for the music that he does the films for. But using Vince DiCola's soundtrack for this Rocky IV, this fourth installment, that doom, doom, doo, doo, doo,
the synth,
that hissy sound. Yeah, yeah, I just, what would have Bill Conti done for this scene?
We don't know what we don't know, but
I do.
The level of drama that it brings is exceptional, to your point. And like that scene, he's giving him orders and then he turns away and the wife is not this nurturing, loving wife. She's the same. She doesn't even smile or like wish him luck or anything. She just turns with and walks off. And Drago receives his orders like he is a robot.
I think she's sleeping with that dude.
It seems like it with the sexy cigarette smoking.
Yeah, I don't think it's because she finds him attractive, but just
powerful.
Power.
Well, even just for her own positioning or whatever, like no pun intended, but. For kind of sleeping your way to the top type of thing. That's my theory. She's banging that dude. You can't just
That's good, yeah.
Boy, that would be hard. I mean, I am not that power hungry woman, but how could you go from Dolph Lundgren to that guy? I don't know.
Well, look at Arnold when he banged that nanny. Oof.
Yeah, man. Maybe this guy has technique. You know what I mean? Like maybe Dolph doesn't have it. Yvonne, I'm sure Dolph has it, but also I gotta point out for the technical aspect, I did have someone look at this who speaks Russian.
Yep.
That was complete gibberish. that was not Russian at all.
They didn't subtitle it, so that tracks.
Yeah. We'll never know what he said.
With the pun, I love that scene.
Well, and I love because he looks over his shoulder referring to all the people behind him, too. So I would be curious to know, yes, in Sly's mind, even though it was gibberish Russian, what was the direction? Probably ignore the Americans, ignore everyone around you. You're here to destroy the champion. You're here to show that Russia has the best athletes. We've got this, and all that kind of stuff. I don't think he told him at this point, kill him.
He said, don't show him any mercy. Like, this is a for real fight. This is not just an exhibition. Take this guy out. I'm not saying kill him. But we need to show these Americans we mean business.
Okay, so now we're going to cut back to the director's cut now for the first time. We're going to see Cleavage gal again here, though. There she is.
Well, it's just very interesting because that contrasted with the motherly Madonna Adrian with her outfit. It's the opposite. Adrian is, and even more later, I'm like, why can't they let Adrian look nice? Like sexy.
I don't know. Ever. I don't know. So this is how it's different, guys. So again, all that stuff we just watched was not in it. Now we have a bit of a different intro. We're going to have, of course, shots of Adrian and Marianne that are different than the original cut as well.
From the Soviet Union, Ivan Drago.
I always hated Marianne's look here too, because she's a pretty woman, but she looks, her hair, her makeup, her dress, it's awful.
Yes, yeah,
this is interesting fight crowd. Everyone's dressed up, which is very unusual for a big fight.
Like, I thought that was nice. Standard back in the day to dress up.
Look at the Rocky, all the other previous fights.
Remember the charity event? That charity event, even Clubber was in a freaking tuxedo. Okay,
Clubber was. I guess this is a charity event too. Yeah. Maybe
plus it's in Vegas. Fancier than Philly.
But you're right. It's still odd that everyone's wearing a tux. Like, it's a bow tie event, really? Yeah. They're all sitting down at their individual tables. Now cuts to drag. Okay. And then it cuts right up to James Brown will come in. Now. It's a bit of a longer. Stays on Dolph. I'll just mute it just a little bit here because the music's kicking in. It's a longer shot of him coming up the stage than the original cut, is it not?
It's meant, I believe, to show us how perplexing this is to him. Yes. He's so in awe of the spectacle of it.
James Brown, of course, starts singing. What I found interesting about this cut is this look of shock and dismay that Marianne and Adrian both have seen this guy in person, maybe? I'm confused. Is this their first time seeing him live in person?
They were at the press conference, but he had his military outfit on.
Yeah, so the way they shot Marianne, they're like, oh boy, this guy's going to fight my husband.
I love the look on Drago's face when he's coming up. He has a sensory overload with all this stuff happening. He almost reminds me of like an animal in a cage that's being brought up to fight. Like, he doesn't really know what's going on and what's happening. And he's like, what the hell? Like, you can see in his eyes kind of panicking a little bit.
He squints, too. He's like, oh my God.
Well, remember in Creed Part 2 where we see Drago and his son jogging those streets of Russia? That's kind of probably where Drago came from, still here. So he's come from those types of streets and he goes to the glitz and glam. There's no Las Vegas in Russia. The lights, the music, the sounds, it's all. He's never been to this event before. Now, why does Adrian look like this? She has a stoic face as well that Marianne had.
She doesn't want to be there. She's against this fight happening. She has to be there because, like, to show support or whatever, but
fair enough.
Yeah, I think later, she knows something steps gonna happen.
Yes, I thought she did always have like a eye rolly.
She caught Rocky checking out some of the girls,
but that's taken out of the director's cut.
Yeah.
So as you'll see, Kyle, and viewers who maybe haven't seen the director's cut and our listeners right now, they have yet to show Rocky, Tony, or Polly. And in this director's cut as well, they're only shown once each. No Hugo Boss shirt shots, no silliness shots. Yeah, it's focused on the wives. Apollo's dancing. Now, what I think is kind of crazy, too, did you notice the big mascot that's behind Apollo?
Is it supposed to be the Siberian bull?
It's a Siberian bull.
it bothers me because they initially say Siberian Express and then they change it to Bull.
That's right. So in the news conference, they call them the Siberian Express. But when they announce Drago's name in the ring, they call him the Siberian Bull here in the ring, which is convenient. Imagine if they messed up and called him the Siberian Express. Drago goes, no, it's Bull. Apollo came down with that big Bull. What a waste of a prop. We would have made it a train instead, like a train engine. It's almost like a satanic ritual. It's like if you were to like do a conspiracy theory on the opening cut here, you'd almost think this looks like a... So there's Apollo coming down. So the Bull's come down. It's quite a prop, that they made for this event to have the Bull fall apart. The Bull falls apart as Drago gets... It's dismantled, yes.
And it's got red eyes.
To show evil.
Mm-hmm.
But Apollo's conquered it. And then AJ's like, okay, I can get into this.
Her face is, what the hell? What is this?
Yeah.
She's looking at Rocky like, really? This... I think she's more relaxed. That's a more relaxed face. She's kind of like, this is happening?
Because the whole time she's like, oh my God, with this. Okay. And now she's like, really? This?
So I don't know. I think they're just both looking at each other like, this is silly. I'm surprised they kept it because it's the same in the original cut.
The look was, what's going on here, Rocky? And his shaking of his head is, I don't know. Like, he didn't know about it.
I'm not in charge of this. Yeah. I just came here for the fight.
I think it's supposed to be kind of a silly moment. They're like, this is crazy. A jovial perplexity and not so dour perplexity.
She didn't seem too jovial there, in my opinion.
What do you think of James Brown's hair?
Well, it's fake, but...
I thought you would comment on the hair.
So the Paul's dancing around. See, there's Marianne. She's loving seeing her husband dance, having a good time. So she's into it now. She's forgotten about the Gary Drago. She's okay with what's going on. So she's celebrating. They've cut out Rocky's shirt of the boss outfits, totally cut out.
That's a good call, the boss thing. I hadn't noticed that, really.
It's all cut out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a longer... And there's the one shot of Polly. That's it. Just one quick shot of Polly holding the skull, but that was it for the whole intro. So again, for the director's cut, there's no point in doing the original. We all know the original, but the difference with the director's cut is all that interplay with the three guys coming out and holding the skull close to him, Polly. They're all looking confused and perplexed too with the craziness that's going on. All that's cut out. It's very just a couple looks between Adrian and Rocky, one shot of Tony, one shot of Polly. A lot more of the dance scene, James Brown, Drago checking out Apollo, of course. There was that death stare still there. It's cool. But yeah, I don't know. What are your thoughts then, Kyle? I guess we'll start with you. Just the idea of what they cut out, essentially. Because it's really just a dance routine, Drago and Apollo show.
I kind of like it shorter. I don't like this James Brown stuff in the first place.
You don't?
No. My sister always used to make fun of this one part of his song. When he says coast to coast, his face makes a weird expression. He's like, coast to coast. Like
he goes like this.
Yeah.
Like
I just remember my sister and I, Tara, used to do that to each other just to make fun of it.
It's a different announcer. It's we'll have to go back to him. I think it's Bill Baldwin and not Stu Nahan or vice versa.
There's a different guy.
Yeah, I forget his name. We should show the scenes. So Sly, now watching again. Yeah, okay, fair enough. So Sly in this cut made it clear that Adrian was unhappy the whole way through. Yeah, so he made that clear in this cut. So this is where I got confused. I watched both cuts before.
Going back and forth, yeah.
So she does smile more in the... She doesn't smile at all in the director's cut. So yes, in the director's cut, they make Adrian not impressed at all by the whole experience. Where in the original cut, which I got confused, she does smile and dance along eventually. So that's where it's confusing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, okay, now this is back to the original cut. This part was taken out. Why? Because LaMille is speaking. That's the only reason why I can think. Why would Sly take out this part? Because this conversation is good.
Good love. I hope after we can be friends. I hope so. Of course, they're sportsmen, not soldiers.
He says, enjoy the fight, and there's pictures being taken. It's a very good a Kodak moment, as they say. So why was that taken out, other than it was done by Brigitte? Was it taken out for...
It was Brigitte. Yeah. Why aren't Adrian and Marianne seated, at least near each other? They don't even appear to be remotely near each other.
Yeah, it's odd. It is odd that they're not even close to each other at all. Though in the director's cut, I think we forgot to talk about it. I missed it when I was doing the editing. It came up during the press conference. They were together at the very end. They were in the same shot together. There was a shot of them
across the aisle. Yeah, they were.
No. There's a shot where they're standing next to each other.
Oh,
very quick. Yeah.
Oh.
I don't think we caught it in our breakdown. It wasn't until I did the edit it was there, but we didn't talk about it. But there's actually a scene, a 1.5 second scene of them standing next to each other during the fight at the end.
Okay.
So they found comfort next to each other while their husbands were mixed up. This is the original, of course, dance. We've got, of course, James and Apollo coming down with the Siberian Bowl. But you'll notice, I think we'll notice Adrian being more happy about this. She'll be more, that's where I got confused. So I do apologize. I got,
and the guys are very happy about the dancers. Like they give each other looks like, oh, look at this. Look at these.
Well, that's right. Yeah. That's right. So Rocky checks out the dancers. Here they are coming out. They're red, white, and blue. She catches that. They're all wearing the American colors of hoodies. So there's, Rocky looking, oh, girls.
And Tony, look at this.
This skull looks nice. I'm going to bring this skull home.
But why? What does the skull have to do with anything?
Okay, so she gave the look there, which
His look back in the original is a different one. Like, oh, yeah, this is all right.
And that's where I was getting the two conflated, I guess. I've seen the original 100,000 times. Mm-hmm. My brain was still going towards that they're having fun. So I will concede the director's cut is to led to believe that they're not happy about the whole event. Fair enough.
There's another look he took out. He keeps really eyeing these dancers.
Yeah, he's eyeing the dancers, checking out their buttocks and stuff. That's the Rocky character, of course, we're talking about. And Bell's role taken out of the director's cut. They made it just seem serious the whole time. And there's Rocky again thinking, oh, I can't believe Apollo's doing this. What a show. This is crazy Apollo. What a crazy antics. That was taken out.
I don't think we got the shot of Ludmilla. And I keep forgetting the dude's name. Is it Sergio?
Yeah.
No, that's the trainer. Nikolai, maybe? Them looking at each other like, oh, again, what a spectacle. Like, wait till this party gets started and we'll show them.
All right, folks, we're going to stop it here. But they were about to announce the exhibition fight. I think that's going to be very good, worth watching. I'm looking forward to Kyle's thoughts, actually, on what we're going to do for the next episode. We'll show the difference between the introductions, because I think there are some differences between the introductions of the fighters. There's a little bit of difference between the director's and original cut. But ultimately, I'll say this, and you tell me if you disagree, guys. The exhibition fight on the original cut, we've all seen 100 times. Basically, long story short, Apollo gets destroyed very quickly. It's like, holy smoke. I just think it'll save a little bit of time where we don't have to, because it's going to be too long to show both fights. If you want, I'd recommend, though, listeners as well, to rewatch the original cut, maybe the fight before we do the recording, just so you have that kind of in your head, some of the differences. Oh, answers. I think we got them all. I don't even think we'll just.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it we got was them all. Pretty easy.
It was, I told you. It was, today. But I like that you do, well, at least Kyle conceded that he would have guessed wrong. I like how Katie's like, I still would have gotten it right. You know what? Fair enough, you may have gotten it right, to be fair, because you usually get the stuff right anyways. But
well, I did say that I would have guessed. I wouldn't have known for certain, but I would have guessed it probably right, just based on the way the question was asked.
Oh, this is almost redundant to say the answers. The man's tongue didn't come through customs.
Paulo.
Yep. Now blast this guy's teeth out.
Paulie.
Yeah. Who says, what do you think? We are nerds? Now, I'll be curious to see what his answer is. I just said it was his buddy. I don't know his name.
Friend of Rocky Jr. Yeah, I don't know if Rocky Jr.
Was it Rocky Jr. or was it his friend?
Because he says, that's my dad. And they're like, yeah, we know. What do you think? We are nerds.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
But that line doesn't make sense, too. What does that mean?
Even as a kid, I was like, that doesn't. Yeah. It would be idiots. What do you think we are, idiots?
Yeah. What do you think we are, stupid?
Mm-hmm.
It's odd that nerds was used instead of stupid.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, you think we questioned how you live in this gigantic mansion? Yeah. I wonder what your dad does.
Yeah, the only reason why you're here is your only friend with a mansion, you dummy.
Although probably his friends or other rich kids who live in mansions too.
Yeah.
But like, of course they know that his dad is Rocky Balboa. I mean, duh.
There's the answer. Rocky Jr.'s friend. Okay. And lastly, Las Vegas. That's not MGM. This is Las Vegas. Okay. Oh, true or false? True. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yes, we all got on the
robot. When Rocky's washing his car, does the robot have a boxing glove on? Oh, Rocco got his own question wrong.
Really?
He wrote false. I don't think he meant to. I wonder if he did a double negative. Sometimes when you do true or false.
Oh, yeah.
When Rocky's washing his car, does the robot have... Yes, it does have a
it does glove. Yeah,
we're going to do an override here, Rocky.
Yeah, that's okay, Rocco, we love you. Remember, he was 10 years old when he did this book. Or is this a Mandela effect for Rocco? He's gonna have to go back and check out the film, Rocco. But like you said, why would he ask that question unless the robot was wearing the glove?
Okay. Yeah.
All right, thanks everyone who sent us an email. We really appreciate it. Join my Patreon, please. Somebody, anyone, even just for $1 a month, it helps pay for my freaking, you know what the cost is for StreamYard a year? I'll tell you right now. I'm gonna tell people. I'm gonna guilt people just a little bit. It cost me $650 for a year subscription. It ain't cheap, folks. It's okay. I'm willing to pay it, and I did pay it. And it actually, the bill just came through 2 weeks ago. I'm just saying, people just gave me $1 a month. That just helps offset the cost a little bit, you know? But I understand. Times are tough. I get it. I understand. I do this because I love doing the show with you guys and my other Ramble podcast. That's why I pay the bill. Well, with that, this episode is over.
I didn't hear no bell. I just want to